bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to have you with us this morning.
Let's see if I get this turned on here.
Is you on? Yep, you're green.
Okay.
Good to go.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Good morning, everybody. I love that song. I haven't heard that song in a lot of years, and it was one of my favorites when I was my kids' age. It cheered me up. It gave me a renewal of hope. And one of the things that I've studied in Romans, and I think we don't realize, is we use the word hope. I hope that I do this. I hope that this happens. I hope that this doesn't happen. You know what the original Greek context of the word hope is? Hope is a promise, okay? Hope is the promise. God, Christ, is our hope, and he's a promise. I am David Rao. I am the executive director of Promise Ranch Ministries, which your church supports as a ministry now. We're located about 12 miles from here out in Coquelamis. And if you notice there in our name, Promise Ranch Ministries, when we were forming our ministry several years ago and seeking the Lord's wisdom and guidance, Promise is the name he gave me. And so many people said, Promise Ranch, and our calling at Promise Ranch is to reach into the lives of children and let them know that God created them uniquely, specifically, on purpose, with gifts and abilities only that God can give each and every one of them, that none of them are a mistake, and they matter. Because in the United States of America today, Christian surveys say 60% of our kids in the United States of America think they're a mistake. Do we believe that? Are we a mistake? God says we're created in our mother's womb, and he knew us before then. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. And that's when he formed us. He made us in his image in our mother's womb. Okay? That tells me that nobody's a mistake. And that tells me that there's a promise, a hope, the hope for each and every little life. So that's what Promise Ranch does. So you're a part of an amazing, amazing, rewarding ministry that we are watching just materialize in year two now as a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are a Christian horse ranch camp. Our specific calling is to help and work with churches and organizations, individuals, families, and bring children into camp that are not learning that Christ died for them, that they matter. Okay, that's our specific calling. Now, camp is for every kid, and camp is one of the highlights of my life growing up. A big statistic is that camp is an evangelistic tool. The church, you guys, are the discipleship tool. I can't bring kids to camp every single week and help them to grow in their faith and learn the promises in the Bible that are specifically written for them and for each and every one of us. What I can do is bring these children into camp, separate them from their lives long enough to sit them down, to teach them, to help them learn through loving them and letting them experience something a little different than what they know as routine, to say, hold on here, there is another way of life. Okay, the biggest thing that happens at camp is the counselor-child relationship, and we work very hard, and we're going to beg you, if there's someone here who feels called this summer to come to Promise Ranch and be a counselor, we are growing exponentially. We're going from 5 camps last year, we're going to run 9 camps this summer, and a family camp, which will be one night and one day, designed for the entire family. It can be grandpa and grandma, mom, dad, aunts, uncles, brothers, sis, and sisters, come out and experience 2 days of enjoying each other as a family and helping to learn how to connect to your kids and be a part of their lives. And I promise grandpas and grandmas, the activities will be toned down a little bit so we don't have a rush for the Ben Gay shelf at CVS on Monday. We'll try to make sure that everything is carefully planned there so that, and I'm there too, so I'm not picking on all of you. But what we want to do this summer is we want to reach into as many lives as possible, okay? That is our goal this summer at Promise Ranch. So I'm going to go over a couple things now because I want to challenge you from the Word of God about why these children are so important, okay, and what's happening in America, what's going wrong in America, and what our part is to change that, okay? But I want to go over a couple things. Back on the table, there's going to be several things. First of all, May the 13th is our second annual. It's called Saddle Up for Summer. That is our camp open house. That's for anybody and everybody. Come out, experience a day at camp at Promise Ranch and see what actually happens, what the kids get to do, what the adults get to do, how you can get involved, how you can help. There is no gift that any one of you have that we can't put to work or that we can really use. It doesn't matter what you like to do, we can use that gift, and you can use that gift to share into the lives of these kids and show Christ to these kids and help them to realize their gifts too. So it's very important that we utilize all gifts in whatever form and manner they are, okay? So back on the table, there is a sign-up sheet that we're gonna ask for your help. I do know what my wife is requesting, that for that day, everything is free that day. We serve food to everybody that comes. We put out posters, we invite the public. And we're asking if St. Thomas would maybe make us some baked goods, cookies, handheld things that we can have to hand out that day. We can use your help to come that day to help serve, to help play games with the kids. We'll be doing all kinds of camp activities. Mr. Richard Kaiser, do you all remember him coming here? The amazing guitar guy. He has volunteered to come up from Roanoke as a gift to Promise Ranch, and he's going to be playing live music all day. That's a lot of fun. And there will be a silent basket auction, which there's a couple slips back there. If that's something any of you ladies enjoy, there's a couple suggestions there of a basket that you could make and get to us, and we will have a silent basket auction. And that raises some income for the camp to get the things we need to get ready for camp. So there's lots of ways to get involved with that day. And most importantly, you're all invited to come out. Last year was our first time. We had over 300 people that day and nobody left not having a good time. It was a joyous, fun, exciting day. And there are people in here that are involved now because of coming out and finding out what Promise Ranch is doing. So that is May the 13th, and as soon as we're getting some posters made, I will get one here, and it'll be back there so that you can see it. There's going to be rodeo activities that day to watch. One of my favorites, I'm really excited about this, is I found this Christian couple down in Reading, and they do archery from horseback, kids and archery hunters, like the Indians used to do. Man, I was so excited when I saw this, and they were down at the Horse Expo at the farm show, and you know how the Spirit moves sometimes and you just know that somebody's a brother or a sister in Christ. And I looked into this young girl's eyes and I could see her. She's so excited when I said, I'm the director of Promise Ranch Ministry. She said, what is that? And I told her, and she said, I'm one of those kids. Now this girl's, I think she told me she's 24. She said, I just came home from a year at a drug heroin rehab in Utah. She said, I was horribly, horribly addicted to heroin. My life was gonna end. And God intervened in my life. Someone came along and said, hold on, you were created on purpose with a gift and you're unique. And they sent me to this place. And she said, now I'm serving Christ with my life and my husband is too. And she said, where is your camp? And they live in Reading. I said, you're about 2 hours away. And I was telling her about Saddle Up for Summer, our event. She said, we're going to come. She just called and confirmed. So they're coming up with their horses and their bows and arrows, and they're going to do a live demonstration. I think they said they'll do two that day. So they're going to be a lot of fun for all of us. I mean, Grandpa's got to enjoy seeing that too. You know, that's fun. So come on out that day. Camp counselors, we really need. So if there's anybody here, and camp counselors don't have to be teenagers, okay? You can be a teenager at heart and be a camp counselor. You can help with lunch. You can tell Bible stories. You can help the kids sing. There's lots of ways to get involved. There's a sign-up sheet I already hung on your bulletin board. It has little pull-off tabs that you can call us, you know, so we can tell you when camps are and when, because you don't have to come for the whole summer to get involved. Whenever you have time, we'll plug you in and we'll use you, okay? There's also a paper, I'm looking at it with horseshoes on it, that tells all the kids and parents when camps are so that you know when to sign your kids up to come to camp. We had to put the camp registration fee up a little from last year. We didn't have enough to cover what needs to be done last summer. So we had to raise it. But if you register by the 15th of April, there's a $25 discount for the camp registration, for early registrations. And that's back there as well. So, and there are also the camp brochures for signing your kids up for camp on the table back here that you can take home and look over and talk about. You can call us, you can get on our website, Facebook, things like that. And you can register online as well, okay? So prayer requests now, because at the end, I'm gonna challenge all of you. We're gonna talk about what God's asking of all of us in our lives and in our homes. For the rest of the time I'm speaking this morning. But prayer requests for you. Number one, be praying today fervently for the children that God's going to send to Promised Ranch this summer. Pray that their little hearts are being opened, their minds are being opened, that they are ready to receive the gospel here, that the gospel is for them. And pray for us that as we prepare, that's the biggest thing in front of us. All the other things that we need, they're tools, okay? They're just pieces of things that we use to create an environment where the kids can be separated from their daily lives. But pray for us that God is laying on our hearts, because just to share one thing, that it brings me to tears every single time. So Roger, tears are, God hears our tears. And I cry for these kids all the time. But little kids come in and you say, do you know who Jesus is? And a little girl looks at me, and a beautiful, beautiful little girl. And she says, that's what my mom's boyfriend says when he's really mad at me. That's what her interpretation of Jesus is. Is that what Jesus is? And we bring these kids in on day one and we say, you know what? God loves you. You know what their little minds and hearts say? Yeah, so what? Love's not a good thing, okay? Love isn't a good thing to us, because that's what, be ready for this, okay? And I'll be discreet. That's what stepdaddy says when he comes into my bedroom at night and does things that I don't like. He says he loves me. So why do I want God to love me? Love's yucky. Love's terrible. This is what Satan has done to our world, people. Okay? The Bible says that what is good will become bad. What is bad will become good. And it's happening right under our fingertips, right under our watch. Okay? I want to challenge you all to pray hard about what your parts in our world are, because this is our generation, this is our time, this is our heritage, and this is our culture. And it is being ripped right out of our grasp. It's being stolen from our children. They don't know the things we talk about anymore. They don't understand them. It doesn't register to them the things that we remember, the good times, the happy times, the blessed times. They don't understand what it's like to sit down in front of television, and even if the show wasn't completely appropriate in the 1970s, they went to church on Sunday. They said a prayer. Andy Griffith, they sang in the church choir. Do you see that today? What do you see? Filth. You see immorality, you see vulgarness, you see improper relationships, you see men marrying men and women marrying women and having children on TV commercials, on the things that we condone and we watch in our homes. This is what we see. It's not okay. That isn't okay, people. And you know what? We live in a very, very radical, radical time. It is extremely radical, and the enemy feels that he's got a grasp, he's got a foothold, because you know what? He doesn't believe what this says, that says Jesus says, I already won. Remember? He says, I won. It's over. I won. Okay? This world is not our home. We go to the kingdom of heaven, and I've already won I've won the war. But Satan right now, he feels like he's winning the battles, okay? And he's trying to rob our children of all the good things that we can have as believers in Christ. He's stealing them moment by moment, piece by piece, little bit by little bit. And it's our job now to get radical back. If we want to win these battles in our homes, in our lives, in our families, in our schools, we got to get radical. We got to get crazy, crazy about God. And the cool thing is, he tells us how to do it. He tells us how to get radical. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, verse 12. And in my Bible, chapter 24 of Matthew is entitled Signs of the End of the Age, and the Pharisees, and they were asking questions of Jesus, and they were trying to trick him into things and trying to prove that he was lying and that he wasn't the Son of God. Okay, and that's what Jesus is addressing here. It comes right after the greatest sermon in history, okay? And in chapter 24, verse 12, and he had just given us, you know, some pretty radical things that will be handed over and persecuted and put to death. And it says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And in verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What's the key word in that verse? Do you know that love is the most used probably word in the entire Bible? It's the most used word in our world today is love. Okay, but what is love? If you look right back in Matthew 22, in chapter 37, the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus again, and they were testing him with this question. They said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? They were trying to trick him to say that the law was more important than Christ. Okay, and it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Notice that he uses all. Not some. He uses all. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Okay, so I've pondered that and I've prayed about that. This one's just like it. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was praying about talking to y'all and trying to challenge you with something that you can take home and put into practical use in your lives. And okay, I love myself, right? I eat what I want. I go to bed when I want, you know, generally speaking. I wear what I want to wear. I shower when I want to shower. I don't do things I don't want to do, right? That's loving myself, is it not? Am I willing to do those exact same things for my neighbor? And I was, and just to put a little humor into this, okay, if I've got a bag of Doritos and a pizza, all right, and I just got diagnosed that I'm diabetic here about 8 weeks ago, and my son Zach's 19th birthday was on Thursday, and he wanted to sing at the WGRC talent competition for teenagers. By the way, he advanced to the semifinals, so this Friday night, you can pray for him. He has a cold, and he'll be singing in the semifinal round up there this coming Friday night at Christ Wesleyan Church in Milton. But anyway, we stopped at Papa John's Pizza on the way home because we weren't home for a birthday supper. And you know what the doctor told me? I'm a CDL driver and my sugar was 383, okay? And I had no idea. He said, you said you're not a diabetic? And I said, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. And you've got to change your lifestyle immediately. So we've been on this journey, no carbs, no sugars, you know, all these fun things. My clothes are getting baggy again. That's I don't mind that part, but the rest I really mind. But I said, you know what? I'm going to cheat tonight and I'm going to eat a little Papa John's pizza and some barbecue chips. And boy, did they taste good. But I felt guilty the whole time I was eating them. And I thought, okay, so if I love my neighbor Roger as myself, I'm not going to give him my Papa John's pizza and chips, because it's not good for him, so I better keep that away from him, right? I don't think that's quite how that works, but that's how our human minds work, isn't it? We always find an out, don't we? We always look for that way to get around the rule for ourselves, don't we? Day after day, moment after moment, I say, well, that might apply to Pastor Roger, but I don't know. That's not really my conviction, right? And it may not be. We can, each of us have our own convictions, and we're not to judge others. We have our own relationship with Christ. And something that may not be okay for you might be okay for me, because that's not my weakness. Does that make sense? That's not making excuses. That's reality. There are things that I think that are not labeled as, oh, that's a sin. It's, if it's one of our idols in our lives, then it's a sin. Okay. Anyway, key to this is Do we love others the way we love ourselves? And we're to love ourselves and others the same way we love God. That's what he says. It's just like it, right? The second one is like it, he says. So we are to be loving our neighbor as we love God. Okay, how do we love God? I love God when things are going good. I love God when he heals somebody that's sick. I love God when things go my way. What's my definition of love? Self-centered, right? And I do that all the time. I'm sure you all do too. I find myself, I love the way I want to love because it's my love language. If any of you have ever studied love languages, that's the way it makes me feel good. That's what I like, so that's what I love, okay? Now, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? One of my favorites. I've read it and 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 read it again because I'm a good forgetter. Roger, I'm getting old and I forget. So chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians verse 4 says this. This is the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. There goes my interpretation of love. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. There's grace. Hallelujah. Thank you for grace. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. My favorite verse in this passage. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And the first three words of chapter 8, let's say these together. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love never fails. That's what we work so hard at Promise Ranch, and what we've realized is this. And I praise God for wonderful Bible programs for children. They're great. And I've been involved with Awana for years. And one of the things that I found out with Awana is a very, very intensive Bible memorization program, okay? And as I sat and I'd pray with these little guys and girls, and we'd study so hard to say their verses to get their reward, okay, to say their verses is, I thought, but is this sticking? Is it making sense what they're reading? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only one, that anybody that believes in his son won't die, but they'll have everlasting life. Does that register to that little child that's going home to those situations that I described? How do we help these kids to realize that what they're experiencing isn't love, and not to, they need to associate the word love with God? It's not words, is it? I want you all to think back to your childhood. I'm sure every single one of us in this room can pick out somewhere in our minds a human being that God placed in our lives. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, even if it was just for a moment in school, at work, at play, at a family reunion, at camp, at Bible school, somewhere, there was somebody in our lives that is still in our memory. What's in our memory about that person? Why did that person stick in our memory? I've traveled a lot, and I've gotten to meet lots and lots of famous people, and some of them walk out, you know, and look at me. Look what I am. I'm the best singer, you know, in the United States, or I'm the best athlete, or I'm the best businessman. You know how many of them I remember? Well, I might remember that I met them, but you know what I remember? Not so nice things. Self-pride and arrogance and things like that. But you know what I remember? I remember when I was 10 years old, June 10th, 1981, a dear lady that a lot of you know, Lucy Leitzel. Okay? Lucy is a sweet, loving, kind, generous, helpful lady who sat with me on June the 10th in the basement of Richfield Mennonite Church. And she said, David, she said, when you were four, you asked Jesus into your heart, but do you understand what that means? And I said, you know what? I don't. I don't get it. I did it because that's what I'm supposed to do. And she sat down and she opened her Bible and she read to me and she shared with me and she shared her life with me and said, this is the difference that Jesus makes in my life, and it's your gift too. It's for every single one of us. But that's the thing I remember. She's one of the heroes of my life. And you know why? Because she loved me as herself. She wanted me to have what she had. So this morning, time to wrap up. I want everybody in here, I want you to think hard about what your definition of love is. What is your definition of love? Are you truly loving the people that God has placed in each and every one of your lives? Because you know what? Every single one of you have lots of people in your lives. Are you loving them as Christ loves us, as God loves us? Because God, he gave his only son, put him on there and let him be tortured and killed and crucified. That's my definition of love. That's the one I want to focus on. That's the one I want to think about and meditate on as I share with these children in their lives. So after the service, I'm going to be in the back if y'all have questions about the camp. Brother, you can pick the song you want to sing. I Surrender All, whatever that song of commitment would be that you want to sing with the congregation, and come on up. And you don't have to come forward, okay? But I'm a believer in sometimes when we make a profession in front of others, it holds us accountable. It says, you know what, God, I'm going to give that love that I have in my life that I place in front of you and disobey the greatest commandment that says love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and then your neighbor as yourself, and then start loving other things, okay? I want to come and I want to give that to you, or you can do it in your seat. But I want us to all just put our hearts in front of God and say, I want to commit to you that I'm going to love you with my entire heart, my entire mind, and my entire soul. And that, folks, that's the love that these children will realize and understand. All the words in the world, a picture is worth 1,000 words. If we show our community, our culture, our work, our home, and our families a genuine, self-sacrificing love, that's what's going to make a difference in our country and beyond. That's what's going to create the revival that America so desperately needs. It happens when we take ourselves, draw your circle right around yourself. Then you get on your knees in that circle and you say, God, there's things in this circle that can't be here. You've asked me, you've begged me, and you sent your son to die so that I have a way to give those things to you. And what does it say? Love forgives all things. God is love. And he forgives us. It doesn't say he forgives us, but he's gonna keep nudging us with, hey, you remember what a lousy person you are? No, he forgives us. Forgiven. Cleanse me and I will be whiter than snow. I am a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things become new. So come on up, brother. We're gonna sing. Just bow your heads and talk to the Lord about what love is in you and what God asks us for love to be. And if you want to come forward and you want to lay that thing at the altar and say, God, I'm giving it to you, I'm going to love you first, come.
Page 408.
Oh, to Jesus.
Can surrender to you. Surrender, yes. Even Lord Jesus, is a good word. It means that we give it up to you. So Lord, today as we consider the loves that we have that aren't pure loves, that are loving you with all our hearts, and we surrender them to you, Lord, I pray that you would block Satan, because Romans 5:11 says, or 8:11 says, Lord, that the very same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And that power is you, and that's love. So Lord, help us to surrender these things to you and to love you and to love others as ourselves. Go with each and every person here this very day and challenge them from your word. Thank you that you loved us enough to send your son for us. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen.